Returning again to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and we'll take these two verses that are now very familiar to us, verses 29 and 30, as we continue with a short series of messages on the golden chain of salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And may the Lord be pleased to bless once again this short Bible reading for his name's sake. Amen. One author has described Romans chapter 8 as the greatest chapter in the Bible. Of course, I can think of many other chapters in Scripture that could also be described in the same way. For example, I think of Isaiah chapter 53. I also think of Hosea chapter 3. And no doubt you can think of many other notable chapters. There's no doubt in my mind that the concluding verses in this chapter, which deal primarily and in particular with the great theme of the believer's eternal security in Christ, are among the greatest verses in the Bible. And as I have been saying in verses 29 and 30, God provides us with what has been described as the golden chain of salvation. And these verses are the nearest thing to the Ordo Salutis. That's the way theologians describe these verses, or the order of salvation in the Bible. And in our study so far, we have looked at two of these five links in the golden chain. We have thought about foreknowledge, and last time we thought about predestination. And this morning we come to the third link in the golden chain, which is calling. In verse 28 we read of those who are the called, and in verse 30 of those whom he predestinated, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Now the calling that is alluded to here is a particular call. It is what has been described as an effectual call. And that's really what we want to come to think about this morning. We want to think about this particular calling, or this effectual calling. Now, while we maintain that the calling referred to here in this verse is a particular or an effectual vocation, we also maintain that there is such a thing as an external call lying at the very door of every individual who hears the gospel. Recognizing human responsibility, the gospel meets man as a sinful and as an accountable being. Now, Scripture teaches that God has ordained that the truth of the gospel be declared throughout all nations. The Lord Jesus Christ, in commissioning his disciples before he returned again to heaven, said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So in Scripture we find that there are actually two kinds of calling. The one is external, or general if you like, and the other is internal, or particular. Now before we consider the latter, which is really the object of the message, it is necessary first to mention the external call, or the general call. Now it is undeniably taught in the Word of God that there is a call to sinners in the gospel, which is not efficacious, that is not effectual. And this is sometimes called, as I have been saying, the external or the general call. Now, there is no doubt about the fact that God makes a sincere offer to all men and women that if they will turn from their sin, if they will repent, if they will embrace Christ, freely presented to them in the gospel as their Savior, he will pardon them for their sins. There's no doubt about that. God is sincere in this call to all men and women to repent and to trust in Christ for salvation. The Lord himself set this out very clearly in the parable of the Great Supper, brought to attention in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24, and then in the parable of the marriage feast in Matthew 22, verse 14, which concludes with the words, "Many are called, but few are chosen." And this is the general call, which is also referred to by Jesus himself in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 16, again referring to this truth. Many are called, that's the general call, but few are chosen. Now, in obedience to the great commission given by Christ to the church, his servants are to preach all the truth among all nations. And again, we are referring to the commission received from Christ, given to the apostles before he returned again to heaven, found at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. And part of the truth is the great theme of redemption. This is to be set forth clearly in all aspects. God's eternal plan, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the transforming operation of the Holy Spirit. However, the mere presentation of the doctrine of redemption does not constitute all of the gospel. Yes, it is vital. It has been clearly revealed of God, and we must present this great truth of redemption. But in it, there is also a call that is issued to men and to women and young people. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat." This is a great gospel invitation extended in the Old Testament by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 55, verse 1 of his book. Then again, the same prophet says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." We are to look unto Christ, look unto him by faith, and be saved. That was the great text that God used in the conversion of C.H. Spurgeon, and that is found in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. And then when we come to the New Testament, we think again of the words of Christ in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then there was a time when he wept over the city of Jerusalem, and he cried, "How oft would I have gathered thy children together, and ye would not." So in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there is the presentation of the great theme of redemption. And part of the presentation of that great plan of God and redemption is a call to look to him, a call to come to God through Christ, a call to be reconciled to God. So I'm just emphasizing again that in the gospel, God offers sincerely a call to all men and women to repent of their sins, to believe the gospel, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hyper-Calvinists will say that such invitations as these can only be issued to concerned sinners, that is, those who show some evidence of their election. I disagree with that completely. And the parables in Matthew 22 and in Luke 14 that I have mentioned already completely destroy such a theory. And in these parables, we have a vivid representation of the invitation being extended to all men. And then we read there about those who refuse to come, but the invitation has been extended to them. They refuse to come because they have other things more important to do. Then it concludes with those words that I have mentioned earlier. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few come to trust in Christ for salvation. Hyper-Calvinists who oppose the general call and the invitation of the gospel are as much in error as Arminians with their doctrine of universal atonement and the doctrine of the free will of man. And how many ministers of the gospel complain of multitudes in this very generation, saying with the children that sat in the marketplace, "We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not lamented." So there was no response to what they did, even in the games in the marketplaces. And the preacher often preaches and declares the gospel. He takes up the theme of the great plan of redemption. He presents the eternal purpose and plan of God. He presents the finished work of Christ. He talks about the great need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And he issues that call in the gospel to all men to repent, giving the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many are called, but few are chosen. I think of the Spirit of Christ in the time of Ezekiel. The Holy Spirit used Ezekiel to give a call to the nation of Israel. It was a sincere call. It was an earnest plea. What was that plea? Turn ye, why will you die? Ezekiel 33 verse 11. So God came to his people in the Old Testament in a loving, compassionate way, issuing this clear call. It was a plea to them to turn. And if they turned, they would be accepted. They would find favor in the sight of God. And that's the way God works when the gospel is proclaimed. A general call is extended to all who congregate under the preaching of the word. It's the same message. It's the same truth that is preached. And many people hear it. But we know that few people respond. But all those who do respond favorably and turn from sin find acceptance with God through Christ. And that marks the distinction, that marks the difference, because the word of God in their case has been made effectual. It has brought forth a response. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So God makes a general summons to all men in the gospel to repent. He takes no pleasure in their death. He takes no pleasure in the damnation of the wicked or in the damnation of the ungodly. But there's also another divine summons that is very specific, that is very personal, and that is inwardly applied by the Spirit of the living God. Now, in every instance when the word calling appears in the New Testament, except in the phrase many are called, it is this effectual summons of God that has been referred to. And this call has the desired effect. It is an effectual call. It's an effectual summons which creates a response. Now, the Shorter Catechism answers the question, what is effectual calling? In answer 31, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit whereby, convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. That's a very concise way to give an answer about this whole question, this whole matter of effectual calling. Now let me give to you a very simple illustration of what I mean by this. There was a man, he was a man from Wales, and one day he travelled on the train from point A to point B. I'm not going to try to pronounce the Welsh names. That's why I'm opting for A and B. So here was a man in Wales, and he was travelling from point A to point B. And as he walked along the platform, the announcer was telling people about the arrivals of certain trains and the departures of other trains. And the man hardly listened as he walked along the platform because he already knew where to go. Then there came another announcement which was very different. And it said, "Will Mr. Brian Thomas from naming his town please go to the station master's office?" Now he heard that call. It was very specific and it was very personal to him. And he immediately responded to that call and he went to the station master's office. And when he went to the station master's office, he discovered that his child was ill and that he was being asked to return home again. So all of his plans were changed that day because he heard what turned out to be an effectual call. Yes, he heard the general call. The announcer was providing all the important information about the departure times of certain trains and the arrival times of other trains, and he hardly paid any attention to that. And then when he heard his name being announced, he picked up his ears. This is for me. This is a special message for me. I need to respond to this. And he did. So he went to the station master's office. And then he heard the news. And because of the news he heard, all his plans were changed. And that's a little bit like effectual calling. It is a specific, it is an internal call, and it is effective. It brings forth a positive response. It motivates, and it brings a willingness to respond positively. So when a man or woman sits in the gospel service and they hear the gospel, some don't pay any particular attention to it. They're taking in all of the general information, all of the general facts, and they may think to themselves, well, this is not relevant to me. And so they just sit there docile in the service. But then, suddenly, the Spirit of God makes it personal. The Spirit of God takes that word and applies it to the heart. And that individual who prior to that moment was indifferent because he was just listening to a general message that had no relevance to him, suddenly that person is stirred, that person is awakened, and that person says, here's a word for me. And the Spirit of God applies it personally to the individual, so that during the service or at the end of the service, that person repents, turns from sin, and comes to Christ. This is the effectual call. It's effectual because it has produced the desired results. So it is with God giving spiritual life and drawing to himself those who, without that call, would remain spiritually dead and far from him. Effectual calling is necessary because of the fallen state of humanity, because of the hardness of man's heart, because we are so indifferent to the things of God. In our sin and spiritual deadness, we are completely unable to respond positively to the outward call of the gospel. We cannot rightly comprehend God. We cannot rightly take in his message of salvation. We hate God in reality, and his commandments and his truth. And no fallen individual left to himself or herself has the moral ability to receive Christ or to come to Christ. Had I been left, I never would have sought after God. And you have to testify to the same thing. You were awakened by the Spirit of God at some point in your life's history. It may have been in a service, it may have been in the privacy of your home, it may have been in the workplace, but somewhere along the pathway of life, after years of rebellion against God, and you were indifferent, you hated the truth of the gospel, you didn't want anything to do with religion, and then all of a sudden, all that resistance was removed, all the hardness was taken away, you were given a love for the things of God, a love for Christ, a love to seek him. You were changed by the grace of God. Whereas someone else who may have been a companion or a friend or a family relative, they, hearing the same thing, continued on. So they heard the general call, you heard the general call, but the general call was made effective. As far as you were concerned, it brought forth a positive response. That's the difference. That other person continued on in sin. At this point of time, they may still even be in sin, but you've been changed. You have been radically changed by the power of God. You responded, you came to Christ, not because of anything in you, but because the gospel was made effectual to you inwardly by the power of the Spirit of God, breaking down the hardness of your heart, removing that stony heart, and giving you the capability to repent of your sins and to come to Christ and to believe the gospel and to be brought into union with him. Only those with that God-given ability will come and trust in Christ and be converted. So in response to man's inability, God has chosen to transform the hearts of the elect through the effectual call, implanting within them a new moral ability and new desires, so that they will unfailingly come to God through Christ when called in the gospel. And that's the wonderful miracle that is wrought within by the Spirit of God when we are regenerated and we come to Christ and believe in him. It's nothing to do with you, it's nothing to do with me, it's not because I deserve it, but it is because God foreknew us, because he predestinated us to this end. Therefore he gives to us the ability to do what is planned to be done for us from all eternity, so that we come willingly, so that we come voluntarily, and so that we receive Christ as Savior. It's God who initiates this by regenerating us, by renewing us, by changing our hearts, He converts us by granting us saving faith as a means of our salvation. Now you think again of the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is in his grave. He's dead. And in this, Lazarus is a picture of every human being in their natural spiritual state. Do you see that picture? There's not a thing that he can do for himself. He's dead. He's wrapped in the grave clothes. He can't get out. And besides this, there's that great stone rolled up to the door of the cave. There's no way that he can get out. Now, had the disciples pleaded that day, Lazarus come forth? Well, Lazarus would not have come forth because he didn't have any innate ability to respond to that plea by the apostles. But then the Lord Jesus Christ raises his voice and he says, Lazarus come forth. And when he did that, it was completely different. Because the word he spoke in issuing the call was no mere invitation. It was an effectual call, bringing with it the ability to respond. So look at the scene. Look at the picture. Here is a man who pictures every one of us in a natural state. Lazarus can't hear. He can't move. He's dead. There's nothing that he can do to help himself. He can't get himself out of that situation. He can't hear, he can't move, he can't breathe, he can't speak. Then Christ speaks, Lazarus, just like the man walking along the platform in the railway station in Wales. He was hearing all that general information. He paid no attention to it. And then Mr. Brian Thomas, when he heard that, that aroused him, that got his attention. And here's this dead man. He's lying in the grave. There's not a thing that he can do. And suddenly he hears Lazarus come forth. And with that call, Christ gave to him the ability to respond. The same God who called the creation out of nothing now calls life out of death. Lazarus, though he had been dead for 4 days and in the grave obeyed his master's voice. And that's what happened to us. We may not be able to fathom it at this point of time. Our human minds may not be able to fully comprehend it, but we were dead in trespasses and sins with no desire after God, no love for him at all in our hearts. We hated God, and we hated this truth, and we hated the gospel. But then one day Christ called, and he gave the ability to come forth. It was an effectual call. He foreknew me. He predestined me to become like his son. And then in the fullness of time he called me with an effectual call that brought forth a response. I think again of the time when Paul went to Philippi. He spoke to a group of women who gathered there for prayer at the riverside. One at least of the group responded. Her name was Lydia. Now they all heard the general call of the gospel that day as they sat by the riverside, for Paul spoke to them all. He delivered the same message to each one gathered there on that occasion. But Lydia received the effectual call and responded by trusting in Christ, and she gave evidence of that. Now, why did she, of all the women, respond? Because God called her personally. And Luke tells us that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So you have a group of these women. We don't know how many women met on that occasion. They were probably God-fearing women. And there's no evidence that they were believers. They believed in prayer. They knew the traditional prayers that they prayed in those times. But there's no evidence that any one of them trusted in Christ for salvation. And so here's this preacher arising on the scene in the providence of God. God has so ordained. God has so worked in his life, directing him to this particular place. He's given him a vision. Come over and help us. And in obedience to that command, he does so. So he arrives at this scene. They didn't have a synagogue at that time. And so he began to expound the scriptures. And all the ladies there heard the message. And as far as we know, according to the record, only one responded, because she heard the effectual call and she believed. So while Paul was speaking, God was showing Lydia that the message was true. And while Lydia's ears were hearing Paul's voice, her heart was hearing the Lord inwardly calling. That was why she could respond. That was why she did become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it happens just like that today. The Lord homes in on those he has foreknown, those whom he has predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's why we're talking here about the golden chain of salvation. Every link has been forged together by God himself. And God changes those hearts formerly closed to the truth and to Christ. Now, God does not always issue an effectual call to the elect the first time they hear the gospel. One may be elect and still initially reject the gospel for many years. And the elect of God are just like any other people. They are hard and rebellious against the gospel. They're ill-deserving, they're hell-deserving, they're guilty before God. And they go about the same way as those who are also dead in trespasses and in sins. And they reject the gospel year after year. Now they may hear the gospel proclaimed and preached, it has no effect upon them. And in that state they behave just like all other fallen people, necessarily rejecting the gospel because they hate God and because they have not the moral ability to obey him. And oftentimes Christians wrongly assume that this means that the Spirit's inward effectual call can be resisted. Now, it is certainly true that the outward call, such as that issued by preaching and witnessing, can be effectively resisted. There's no doubt about that. We have evidence of that in Scripture, and your notes will provide you with the various scriptural references. In fact, the outward call is always resisted unless it is accompanied by the inward effectual call of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's inward call always results in conversion. So what I'm saying is this: the general call of the gospel will always be resisted, even by those who are classified in the Bible as the elect of God. They will always reject the gospel in their sinful ways until they are powerfully wrought upon by free grace, until their wills are inclined from sin to God, and then their eyes are open to the truth, and they will respond, and they will come and trust in Christ, because the call will then have been made effectual to them. So the general call is always resisted unless it is accompanied by the effectual call, by the inward call of the Holy Spirit. So then, how is one to preach? How is one to witness to men and women? This is the question that has been asked by many. Others foolishly say, what is the point of preaching at all, for if this covenant of grace is so watertight, then all of the elect will be saved in any case? Such reasoning always shows a pathetic ignorance of Scripture. God, who has designed the end of the sinner's salvation, has also designed the means for its accomplishment. And by the universal proclamation of the gospel and the general call, the Spirit gathers the elect from among all nations. This is the divinely appointed means to accomplish the end decreed of God from eternity. So when the call is issued, it's the general call, and then the Spirit of God makes that call effectual as far as the elect of God are concerned. Those foreknown, those predestinated, will receive the effectual call. They will respond to that call. They will believe. They will come to Christ. They will be placed in the family of God freely by the grace of God. They will come willingly. They will come freely. They will come because God has commanded them to come. The messenger of the gospel must of necessity then be general in preaching, for he cannot identify the elect in their unregenerate state. That's a mystery of the Godhead. No human being is privy to the mind of God regarding those things. These are the secret things which belong unto Jehovah. And the message that we must preach is Christ died for sinners, and all who repent of their sin and believe the gospel will be saved. And we have the authority of the word of God to say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that is the way we need to present the message, that all men are sinners, Christ died for sinners, and that all who repent and believe the gospel and come to Christ will be saved. There's no doubt about that. That's the promise of God in the gospel. All those who will come to Christ will prove to be those who have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Those who have been foreknown, those who have been predestinated, those who have been called will be justified and ultimately will be glorified. So the effectual call is the inward call of the Spirit that moves and invites a sinner to Christ. At the same time, the sinner is regenerated and renewed inwardly, so he or she willingly believes the gospel and willingly comes to Christ. Now, while other traditions teach that this inward leading of the Spirit may be accepted or rejected, Reformed theology insists that God's inward call is always effectual. It never fails. To those who are so called, it cannot fail, because the purposes of God are immutable. As I've said before, the general call of necessity will be rejected, but when the inward call works in conjunction with the general call, it will always prove to be successful. The sinner will always come. And that's the way you came, that's the way I came. For had God not ordained it so, none of us would ever come to Christ. As already mentioned, the Bible speaks of God's effectual call in many places, but perhaps the passage distinguishing it most clearly from the outward call is our text, Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. And here the Apostle Paul indicates that the group of those who are called is identical with those who are foreknown, predestined, justified, and ultimately glorified. This is the guarantee of our eternal security. So there are two kinds of calling. There's the general call that is extended to all men. Then there is the internal or the effectual call that is applicable only to the elect of God, those chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, predestinated to become like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those will be called irresistibly, and they will comply, they will yield, they will come, they will believe. The Bible tells us we are to make our calling and election sure. We make our calling and election sure by coming to Christ, by repenting of our sin, by believing the gospel. And any sinner who repents, who believes the gospel and who comes to Christ will be saved. There's no doubt about that. And that is why we all need to make our calling and election sure by trusting, by believing, by coming to him, and by being saved by the grace of God. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts, for Christ's sake.